The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
Our environment expert John Gibbons joins us for our weekly chat. But Ian Guider beat you to it yesterday, John, when he got the chance during business to talk about pennies, reducing fashion waste and cutting emissions, making a commitment that by 2030, all of its clothes will be made from recycled or more sustainably sourced materials. What did you make of that?
Good evening, Matt. Yeah, I read Penny's statement with interest, and it's very carefully parsed. So, for example, they're doing this thing called pursuing sustainability. Now, I'm pursuing a career in opera singing, but it's probably not going to happen. I'm just concerned by the language that's been used in the Penny statement. It's full of the kind of political aspirational language that we often hear from organizations that realize that they're in a corner. They're shipping a lot of heat, a lot of pressure in terms of their environmental impacts, and they need to be seen to do something to keep the public off their back.
Hang on a second, John. Is that necessarily the case? Because Penny's is an exceptionally popular company. It has an enormous number of customers, not just Penny's here in Ireland, but Primark in other parts of the world. When it reopened its physical sales stores after COVID, each time there were queues around the block with people wanting to go and buy its stuff. There doesn't seem to be an enormous demand from its customers to actually change the type of clothes, because they're more interested in the price they can get them at, which is affordable to them.
Sure. I suppose it's one of those things, Matt, that it's a fast fashion globally is one of those sectors about which we know remarkably little, and there's very little discussion about it. Now, the IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, they reckon that the fashion industry produces 1/10 of global CO2 emissions. It's absolutely enormous. And put it in context, that's more than all the aviation industry and all the maritime industry combined. So this is an absolutely massive thing. And what's critical about it is, you might say, well, we have to wear clothes. Of course we do. So there's going to be an environmental impact with that. Of course there is. But give you a couple of stats. Fashion consumption has increased by 40% since the mid-1990s to today. Now, that has been driven by intense marketing, advertising and promotion, including online promotion. And it's selling the idea that clothing is disposable. This is a brand new idea. I'm old enough to remember when clothing, you got something, you wore it, you patched it up a little bit, and eventually it got chucked out. But marketeers like Penny's, who, as you say, Matt, enormously popular because, of course, their stuff is unbelievably cheap. And of course, people walk into a Penny's and they pick up a T-shirt for 2 or 3 euros and they say, this is fantastic. Now, you have to ask yourself, when you're picking up a T-shirt or whatever it is, or a top for 3 euros, OK, that's a hell of a price. That's a hell of a bargain. But who's paying downstream costs? So let's leave environment off the table just for a moment. Let's look instead at the millions of vulnerable workers in the third world, in the so-called developing world, countries like Bangladesh, who experience, these are the people who are actually stitching these. Very few of them are on salaries. They're all peace workers working in really dreadful conditions. And of course, companies like Penny's are very cognizant of the negative publicity of this. So they don't tend to buy directly from these factories. What they do instead is they buy through brokers and middlemen. I'm not picking out Penny's here particularly, by the way. We could list any of the fast fashion companies. And they're buying this stuff for fractions of pennies, tiny, tiny amounts of money, huge, enormously cheap. Now, so there's a huge impact on poverty in the global south. So their poverty gives us our cheap clothes. Now, I don't know about you, but most people, I think, believe that their labor, we should be paid fairly for your labor. You know, if you go to work, you expect your employer to pay you fairly. Now, when you go in and you pick up that super cheap top, you must know in your heart that somebody is getting ripped off in the deal. Now, as I said, the workers are bearing the brunt of it. And of those workers, Matt, 75% of them are young women. These are the most vulnerable, the most exploited group. And one survey calculated that around 2% of textile workers in the world make a living wage. The rest of them, 98% of them, are working in what amounts to poverty conditions. And also, in many cases, in extremely dangerous conditions. And by the way, the reason why they're mostly young women is this work is so arduous that most People are broken down by it. They're unable to continue at this work beyond their 30s and 40s. So it's an extremely destructive system. And that of course, is on the human side. We'll also look
and then talk about the environmental side, because you mentioned earlier about the damage done. My understanding is that an enormous amount of the problem is the consumption of water, particularly in the use of cotton.
That is correct. And I'll give you a simple example. One cotton shirt typically requires about 3,000 litres of water in the production process. Now, that same cotton shirt, Matt, in its manufacture and distribution could have travelled 30,000 kilometres. It probably started in a cotton field in the southern US. From there, it was shipped to Bangladesh into one of these sweatshops. From there, probably back to a German distributor, and from there, shipped maybe to Australia. So one garment, having consumed 30,000 litres of water just in the production, is then goes on a 30,000 kilometer odyssey with all the energy and all the resource implications that go with that. Now, we have to wear clothes. We know that. Of course we do. What we need to get over is this idea that these are super cheap and that is a reasonable thing. And the key point here is that it isn't. This is what's called manufactured desire.
So could I ask you, do you recommend, would you suggest that if you're being environmentally conscious that you should limit the amount of clothes that you purchase in any particular year, that you should try and use them for longer periods of time, and that if you do decide that you get rid of them, that you try and recycle them in some way, even if by donation for charity or some other way?
Yeah, I think all of those things are reasonable. I mean, the first thing is, when you go into a shop, buy what you need. We've had numerous reports of people going shopping in these fast fashion outlets, coming back with a bag full of stuff and discovering that they already have the same thing and it's actually in the drawer someplace unopened. Now, when you reach that point, this isn't the efficiency of the marketplace. This is the dysfunctionality of the marketplace, where the massive environmental impacts of this. And to add to those, Matt, one third of all the global microplastics, especially those floating around in the ocean doing enormous harm, arise from synthetic textiles. We also know, for example, that polyester, which is one of the artificial materials used in fast fashion, it is non-biodegradable fiber, highly polluting, breaks down to microplastic, and of course is a petrochemical. So this is literally a fossil fuel product that we're wearing. And as I say, there are no easy solutions to this, but the key thing is to understand that we have to limit ourselves, and we're being pushed, hoodwinked, conned by intense marketing and advertising into over-consuming with this idea that it's cheap and it's easy. Now, if you had to go out, or you or I had to go out, God forbid, to actually manufacture one of these items, you would understand the amount of effort, the amount of sweat involved in it. But instead, we're being sold this idea that it's cheap. And of course, the downside of selling things too cheaply is basic human psychology is we then undervalue cheap things and we chuck them out. So that of course, suits the manufacturer, Matt.
There's a lot of comments coming in from listeners. Pay more doesn't mean the textile workers are paid fairly, though. Nike, etc. have been caught using sweatshops. That is the case for some very, very expensive products that are bought for pennies and then sold for hundreds of euro or hundreds of dollars. Another one, all these eco-warriors just won't be happy until they price everyone except the very well-off out of being able to buy anything. Loads of people having the hope of buying vintage or so-called eco-friendly clothes, John, says another listener.
On that, Matt, just people who want to do the old eco-warrior thing, right? I've just been describing the misery of people, exploited people in the developing world. Now, so I presume that listener of yours has no problem with that exploitation and is absolutely indifferent to their suffering to deliver these clothes. So the eco-warrior thing, it's a cheap shot, we know that. But the bottom line here is that somebody is paying a terrible price for this so-called cheap produce. And on that, by the way, you're absolutely right, Matt, by the way. Of course, companies like Nike, the high-value products, we need to apply regulations. We need to make sure that the people manufacturing these clothes are properly paid. And that, by the way, is only done with enforceable international regulation. At the moment, the fast fashion sector is the wild west of industrial production.
Okay, another listener has a bugbear of mine. Wants me to ask you about your view of internet shopping, and is it environmentally friendly in terms of big diesel burning vans driving around the country, delivering small packages direct to houses, maybe even as little as a pair of socks? Now, I know there are now some delivery, I think Unpost, for example, are making a big issue of having environmentally friendly delivery vans going around, but it does strike me as an odd one, particularly for younger people who say that they are environmentally conscious. constantly having stuff delivered, individual items. Then if they don't like them, sending them back, all the packaging that's involved as well as the actual delivery.
It's a good point. And I think an even bigger point is the compulsive nature of internet shopping, where people are, you no longer have to go to a shop to go shopping. So the problem with internet shopping, unless you're very disciplined, is that you can just out of boredom find yourself online clicking at things and ordering things. And as you said, okay, maybe the last 5 kilometers arrives in electric van, but you got to think of the 10,000 kilometers before it got there. And you've also got to think of the resources, the packaging, the labor that brought that product to your door. And I suppose, again, you know, nobody's perfect here. Nobody's saying we can't do this, we can't do that. It's more a question of saying, do I actually need this? Because there's huge embedded energy, there's huge impacts on these things. And if we're concerned about these things, and by the way, we really should be, then we have to think, do I need that? Maybe I can do something better with my money.
There's another listener says, how come you never discuss children's toys, disposable children's toys, wall-to-wall plastic in any given toy shop? It's not just children's clothing, which is a very good point. We don't have time to do it now, but that'll give you the opportunity to be a Grinch sometime before Christmas, John, won't it, if we discuss children's toys?
I think you're right, Matt. I'll be suggesting that it's just going to be, of course, I can't even say a lump of coal, can I? No. So, no, you're absolutely right. Everything, there's impacts all over the place. And the question here isn't about saying, you know, nobody can have any fun, nobody can do anything. It's more about using your common sense and realizing, particularly, be aware when stuff is too cheap, too easy. There's always a catch and there's always somebody paying.
Thank you very much, John Gibbons. We didn't get to the other topics we had anticipated, but I know this issue of fast fashion is one that really, really interests an enormous amount of people. We'll talk to you again next Thursday, John Gibbons.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today FM.